Christmas time comes once a year. She knows this time he won't be near. We're talking Erasure. Hit it. It was 1985. Peter Jennings interrupted General Hospital to announce the return of Coke Classic. The mayors of Carthage and Rome met to formally end the Third Punic War after 2,131 years. And Vince Clarke formed his third majorly successful band with singer Andy Bell. I'm your host, Jerry D., with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, music specials, music and fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Now, before I introduce my guest, it's time for the 80s word of the day. This comes from the Dictionary of 1980s Slang by Rick Carlisle. Today's word is ear candy, a piece of enjoyable but lightweight music. Cuts like the title track are surefire ear candy he's grown adept at churning out, from Atlantic Magazine, 1987. Use it all the time. But joining me today is a Totally Rad Christmas all-star and two-time Ratty Award winner from the Seasons Eating podcast. It's Glenn Warren. Glenn, what's happening?
Hey, thanks for having me back. Two-time award winner. That's amazing.
Yeah, but they're just ratty, so they don't count.
That's okay.
How you doing, man? How's it going?
I'm doing well.
How's the new house?
The new house is doing great. We're still just sort of living life in it. We haven't done any major changes because it'll be a year July, basically. I can't believe a year has gone by so fast.
They usually do. My daughter's the oldest one is going to be 10 in June. And it's like, what happened? Like, I remember just holding her in my arm, like this tiny little thing. And now she's 10. What?
Well, I remember seeing a Instagram story with Santa Dad. And he said, you have 18 summers with your kids. I'm like, wow, that's dark.
True, though. But yeah, it is dark.
Like, okay.
Yeah. Wow. That, I mean, it's good advice. It makes you think about things in a different way, which is pretty good.
Yes.
But that's, I mean, that's cool. I'm glad you're, liking the new house, and a year. I remember when you were just barely moving.
I know. And the great thing about this house is that we have room for an extra Christmas tree. So I get to have two trees, one upstairs and one downstairs.
Awesome. Yes. That's super cool, man. You have ideas on themes or anything?
Well, the downstairs tree is a Santa theme, as it always was. So upstairs is going to be more, I guess, my heritage. I mean, I'm living in Newfoundland. I'm a Newfoundlander. So it's a lot of sort of ocean fishing, sort of coastline stuff. Plus a lot of local artists. We picked up a few. There's a farmer's market like a few blocks from my house. So we picked up a few local artists, ornaments and artwork and stuff like that. So it's going to go on that tree.
Right on. It sounds fun. We still just have the one for now. Well, I guess there's kind of a teeny tiny tabletop one in my son's room. And then maybe a 4-foot tree in my daughter's room. But,
nice.
You know, it's not really anything big. They just kind of put these tiny little ornaments on it and call it a day. So
I had one of those when we were kids, too. It was like 2 feet. And we stuck little tiny, like maybe less than an inch ornaments on there. Yep. So it was in my bedroom, me and my brother's bedroom. We shared a bedroom. So.
Oh, right on. Yeah. Yeah, I was blessed to be the oldest. So I had my own room, and then the two younger had to share. So
and you got all the new clothes.
That's right. Yeah, they had to wear them after. Oh man. But
and this time we're not even talking about food.
I know it's a little funny, but I like it. It's cool. We're actually here to talk about Erasure. So like, what do you remember about Erasure? Like, what's your experience with them?
Well, I mean, I knew of them in the 80s. Right. I basically was a teenager when they got created back in 85. So I was, 15, 14, between 14 and 16 years old. So I was in high school. I had just moved to Edmonton, Alberta, and just got into that sort of new wave sound back in the day. And so a lot of the new wave stuff was techno pop. So like Duran Duran and OMD and Eurythmics as well. And then in 85, 86, Erasure started. And I didn't pick up their first albums because I didn't think they were that popular at the time. I think they really got popular around 88, 89.
Yeah. Yeah. Innocence is like where they really like blossomed.
I had the Innocence album and Circus, on vinyl, of course.
Yeah.
Cause I think I did have my Discman though. I did have a Discman, but I don't remember having the CD of it. It might've been too.
That's cool. I never had a Discman until I think it was like 93 or 94 when I finally got one.
Yeah.
I was still rocking the Walkman cassettes.
Yes. That eats batteries. It's like you play it like 2 hours, you got to change the batteries.
Yep, pretty much. Oh, man. That's cool. Yeah. I remember them back in the 80s. I remember all the girls thought they were awesome. And I at the time, I was more into like Genesis and Madonna and Michael Jackson, but all the girls liked it, so I thought, okay, well, let me see what this is about. And their songs are like super catchy. I just remember really liking them. So I've always been a fan since since really about 88 or so, because it wasn't, I think it was the one with the, what is it, Ship of Fools and Chains of Love, Respect, and all those. That's Innocence, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I really started hopping on the Erasure bandwagon. But I thought they were super cool. The fact that there were just two of them kind of blew my mind. You know, it was very Eurythmics. But at the time, you know, I was used to at least a trio. I mean, you know, Genesis had three, earlier more, but, you know, you hear about power trios. You don't really hear about just a couple or duo coming out and doing an album. So I thought it was super cool that they really just kind of, you know, did it up, at least in the
80s. I'm surprised they didn't really catch on as much in the US as they did in the UK. Canada doesn't really have a lot of new wave sort of techno pop artists. I think Concan might be the only one. But I was listening to a lot of UK artists back in the 80s. I still do anyway. But I was reading some research and they said, I think they didn't even break like the top 200 with their first album.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it took a while for them to really catch on, I think, in the US.
They kind of formed, it was kind of Vince Clarke really that was the impetus for their forming. And what I thought was kind of cool, just you know, doing my own research about him, something that I'd never known was that he was in like two other successful bands before forming Erasure. So
he started Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode, yeah. He wrote like their first three hits.
Yeah.
And I mean, they were pretty big. And then all of a sudden he left and he joined with Alison Moyet and formed Yaz or Yazoo as it is Yazoo. In the UK. Yeah. For some reason, it's just Yaz here in the US. I don't know why.
Some marketing person said, make it shorter.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. It's Yazoo. What's that? Yaz. It's cool. It's hip. Like jazz.
Yeah. And I used to listen to them too. I mean, I had Depeche Mode's albums. I had Yazoo, Alison Moyet's album, and still listen to them.
Oh yeah. Only You is still like one of my favorite songs of all time.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's just a fantastic song. I mean, her vocals and his, you know, everything else that he plays is just fantastic. But then he left that, and after doing like a, I think he was in was like the assembly or something like that, and then just real quick, and then he put an ad out in Melody Maker, and Andy Bell answered, and bam, this is like his third huge band. You know, you don't, it's hard for people to get like one successful band, and here he is with three.
I know, you keep churning them out one after that. Oh, I'll just make a band. Oh, big success. Oh, I'll make another one. Big success.
Yeah. Like just old hat to him, I guess.
Yeah. But for people who don't know, Melody Maker was like a musician sort of magazine, I guess. Like, I don't even know if Rolling Stone would be comparable, or there was another magazine called New Music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess that could kind of be very similar.
And so they would have ads in the back of the magazine, like you would have classified ads going, you know, looking for lead singer or looking for drummer or looking for blah, blah, blah. And depending on what part of the country you lived in, I guess, and I was reading, Andy was working as a shoe salesman. And he saw this ad in Melody Maker magazine, and he answered it, and he has practically no musical experience except for like a band he had or a couple guys he was hanging out in school with. And he was like the 43rd person that Vince interviewed. Oh, like imagine going through like 42 other people and going, nope, nope, nope. But
it's, I mean, it's hard. So like I've been in a few bands, but like never really ones that have lasted or really, I mean, I don't really want to be famous. I just want to play music here and there, you know? But like, it's hard to find someone that really likes the same stuff you do and wants to go in the same direction you do. So, I mean, I can see going through that many, but at the same time, it's like, wow, were they just like coming in and singing for him? And then he's like, no, nope, that's it.
You know? Exactly. Yeah.
Who's next? All right.
Next, nope, 16 not gonna bars. Work. Sorry. Next.
You sound great. Not going to work. We like two different things. Next.
I've done community theater as well. So I know the audition process. And it's like, if you're not comfortable with being rejected over and over and over, it's like,
yeah,
it's a grueling process.
Yeah. But so they had their first, you know, their first couple of albums. And like you said, they didn't really do a whole lot over here. Although I was it L'Amour? I think it's the name of the song. Yeah, that one I really enjoy. I think it's a gorgeous song, constructed very well. And it's funny because it has that juxtaposition that's really typical of their songs, where you have like the longing, the real poetic phrases, but then you also have like that very rhythmic pulse to it, like it really drives.
Yeah,
you know. And so normally with a song like that, with those lyrics, it might be maybe slower, something, but. But just they just have that beat that just, you know, pushes. And it's almost like a typical, I like to think of it as like the erasure beat. It's just, you know, the dun 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 dun, dun, that kind of a thing that goes.
Yeah, it does have that sort of signature.
Yeah.
I don't know if Vince sort of created it because of that. But yeah, you can almost tell the typical erasure song. It builds on itself. And I think that was one of the styles that he had, because he liked working with analog synthesizers.
Yeah.
And so nowadays everything's digital, right?
Right.
So he would plug in his synthesizers like three or four in a row and just sort of build that sound.
Nice.
And that's where that sort of quintessential erasure sound comes from. And like you say, when you create a song, you start making building blocks.
Right.
And you lay down the melody, and then you lay down the bass, and you lay down, you know, the treble, and you throw in some hi-hats and stuff like that, right?
Right, right.
And I guess there was an article where they went into his studio, and it's basically like a wall of synthesizers that he just combined all together. And nowadays he uploads everything to digital and just plays with it that way. But he said there was like 48 tracks that he would manipulate. Like, imagine, like, I can't even barely deal with singing a tenor line instead of dealing with 48 different tracks of music, one song.
Well, and then just think about sometimes when we're editing our shows, we have like, you know, a few different people on, and then you have their tracks as well, and got to get through all that. So, yeah, that's a whole thing right there. But I get it. I mean, they have like you said, it's synth pop really. And yeah. So they have just a wall of sound sometimes, especially towards the end when they're like really building to the climax, you know? And so it's very dense with all these, typical sounds of the '80s, you know, the synths that you normally think of. I know in their latest album, they kind of are trying to, you know, the one they released in like 2020, they kind of went back to like their original setup.
Yes.
With, some of the analog synths again. And I think that's super cool. Just bringing it back to, you know, where it all began.
Cause you got all of us people who are nostalgic for the '80s.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah.
I know that sound. I'll get that album.
I'll take that. Yeah. did you ever hear it? So in, you know, they released, you know, 1988, this Christmas EP that we'll be talking about. And in 87, even before that, they had a little track, a little promo for a Yulesville, which was a promotional comp where they sang Silent Night. And, you know, we'll talk about that too. But in 2013, they actually released that album Snow Globe, which is a Christmas album. Yeah.
I have it.
Yeah. It's a great album. It really is. Great. It's kind of different from a lot of their stuff, but at the same time, it's still the very much them, you know? So like the Silent Night on that one is like much more stripped down, mm-hmm. much more slow, you know, whereas the one they did in 87 for the Yulesville promo, really, again, it kind of drives, it's kind of up tempo, and it's just not what you normally think about when you think of Silent Night.
True. Cause most versions of Silent Night are nice and quiet and nice and,
right.
you know, very, like you said, a slow tempo. And you think of being in a church at midnight with all the lights off, lighting a candle and all that stuff.
Exactly. Not
a, you know, thumping out to a dance going, unt, 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 unt. No. It's just, I mean, we need to change it up every once in a while. Like every artist deserves to have a chance of interpreting a song the way they want to.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite tracks on the Snow Globe album is Gaudete.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah. It's just, I love the layering that he does and just, plus I like choral music anyway.
I do too. I actually didn't realize it was a cover. So apparently it's a cover from 1973.
Oh, I mean, Gaudete is like centuries old though.
Well, the lyrics and the melody, but that particular version, it was by a band called Steel Eye Span.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like a folk group that kind of not perfected, but they kind of did this particular arrangement of Gaudete. Yeah. Because, it's just an old Latin hymn, you know, Christus natus est, you know, ex Maria Virgine, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they really add like a drive to it. So Steel Eye Span, when they sang it, they had like just an all vocal version of it. It's really cool, especially if you can find like a live version. I mean, The downside is they use a very British, I suppose, pronunciation of some of the Latin.
And so it's like, okay. You're not doing like church Latin?
Ex Maria Virgine. I mean, it's, yeah. Yeah. You know, it's not like the Italian, like you said, ecclesiastical Latin, church Latin,
yeah.
You know, the Gaudete, but it's still a gorgeous song when the female comes in and does her little part up, the soprano, it's amazing. And they really capture that in their version too, but by adding like the driving backbeat, you know, they almost put it in like a 4/4 and yes. it's different. It's, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the rhythm is the, da 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 da
da da da. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Na 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 da na 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 na.
Anyway, I love it, but it's a great song. I thoroughly enjoy their version of it. And it's one of those that it's like, oh man, I wish like I had known of this song earlier. Like if I had heard it in 2013, I would have been playing it like on my Christmas list
Yes.
Christmas playlist, like, since then. I only learned about it like a year or two ago. So, but yeah, they have some really cool tracks on that album. So that's 2013 Snow Globe, folks. If you get a chance to go listen to it, you should for sure. But I really, today, I mostly wanted to focus on their Christmas songs from the 80s. So I want to get into, we'll talk really quickly, and we kind of already have discussed The Silent Night. So in 1987, there was a promotional comp called Yulesville that was done to, you know, just to kind of throw out some of the new music. And they usually ask artists if they want to do a carol or they want to contribute. And so Erasure, they did like a little promo first, you know, hi, we're Andy Bell and Vince Clark from Erasure. Yeah. And then they like just start singing Silent Night. And it's very much not the lullaby version that we are used to. What I enjoy about it is that, let's see, around halfway through the first verse, then we start getting like a little counter melody in the synths, you know, bum, 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 bum,
bum,
bum, bum, bum, bum, underneath. And so, you know, we have Andy singing and Vince is playing the chords, but under we have that little melody and it just kind of arpeggiates the chord a little bit as well. And so it just adds more texture and more drive to it.
Yeah. That song didn't make the Crackers International album.
It did not. No, no. Which again is kind of strange. You would have thought they would have used it if you already had it.
Just yeah.
Like fill it out, you know.
You've done the work.
Exactly. Now the Crackers International is interesting because it's an EP. So there were only four tracks, depending on who mastered it or when it was released, there's like different versions of it. So there's some with six tracks, which two are just like, you know, 7-inch versions or 12-inch versions of the originals. Yeah. But there's also like a version with a God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen on it.
The CD version.
Cool.
They have extra tracks. And for the young people out there who don't know what 7-inch and 12-inch versions are, back in the day when we're in the earth was still cooling, we'd buy records. So you would get 12-inch versions of one song. Usually a song is like 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes, but 12-inch versions would have like 5-minute versions, 7-minute versions. You could get even like 11, 12-minute versions of one song. But basically, they would just repeat like the melody or the bass line over and over and over until you got to the chorus, and then repeat the chorus a couple times and then go back. I would buy the 12-inch records over and over and over because I would play them at home. And then when I went out to the club, I would hear that song being played at the club.
Right. So, right. The extended version.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're super cool. I like extended versions. And we don't really get a ton of them nowadays. But I'll also be honest, I don't listen to a lot of popular music nowadays. So I could be wrong about that. But I remember one of my favorite Christmas albums from the 80s is Three Ships by John Anderson from Yes. They, in the 90s, I think it was like 93 or so, they came out on CD and they added like a bunch of extra tracks as well. So there's like there's a ton of bonus tracks, and that's kind of like the same thing with this EP. So like you're talking about on the CD, there's that extra God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, which I actually haven't heard. I've never heard that version of it. So I got to hunt it down now. I'm excited to.
I'm sure it's not on YouTube or on any other music streaming service.
Well, if you download the album from you know, iTunes, it's not on that one. Okay. So it's possibly on some of these other streaming services, but I haven't hunted for it. But now I kind of really want to. Is it cool? Does it, I mean, does it sound cool?
I must admit, I haven't heard it either.
Oh, okay.
I've heard, gotcha. I've had the EP, but I didn't have the CD of it.
Oh, I gotcha.
So yeah, I'm sure I could find it, but.
Yeah, it probably is on YouTube, I bet.
Oh, let's be merry, gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. For Jesus Christ, our Savior, was born upon this day to save us soul from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
But in particular, so the whole EP, that, like I said, there's four tracks on it. The one I really want to focus on, even though they're all great, like they're literally, I think any one of these songs could have been a single. But the one I really, really want to focus on is She Won't Be Home. This is the one that for me, it just really gets to me every time I hear it. There's kind of a sadness to it.
Yeah.
Especially the intro, you know, it starts off with like that horn. I don't want to say Salvation Army-ish, but it's almost like it's a French horn that kind of sounds almost like it's in its lowest register. So it almost sounds like a bassoon. You know, it gets to that level of where it sounds almost like a bassoon. Yeah. And it just plays this nice melancholy just melody. And you can hear the chords changing underneath.
Yeah.
But it kind of right away, it sets the tone. What do you remember about this, like this song in particular? Was this one of your favorites or did you care for it? Or
I didn't mind it. I mean, my favorite of the EP was Stop, because it was kind of like a dance tune that I could,
right,
you know, jive to basically.
I didn't
mind the slower pieces, but I always thought Erasure was more of a club band. So, yeah. You know, Knocking on Your Door and She Won't Be Home would be sort of stuff I would listen to by myself if I was just relaxing at home or something like that.
Right.
You know, I'd have the album on and I'd just let it play. I wouldn't just play one song and then take it off.
Right.
It's kind of like in the background for me. I mean, it's a great song. Like you said, it's beautifully written and it just wasn't something that I'd go back to, I guess.
Yeah, well, and same here. This is one I never really, I mean, I listened to it, but I never really thought a lot about it until recently when I started really getting into the 80s Christmas stuff. And I just jumped into it and it hit me. It was like, wow. It kind of reminded me of like when I was in college, or like when I was living on my own up in Houston and I might not have gotten a chance to come home for Christmas. And so I kind of, you know, I really had some of those feels about it as well. The song itself is about a girl who I guess can't come home for Christmas. I mean, I'm not sure if it's like a lost love or, cause at first verse almost seems like it's about, you know, like her, I guess, lover that can't be with her.
Right.
She looks around. There are snowflakes on the ground. Here comes another lonely Christmas.
But then, like, the second verse is more about, you know, her just being by herself saying, I can't, you know, I can't come home this Christmas, you know, and her dad and her mom react to that. I mean, it's so I'm not exactly sure like where the focus is. Are there two different people? Is it a twist? Is it the same person? And that always kind of intrigues me. But either way, you can still feel like the melancholy and like the loneliness of the song.
Yeah. I mean, there's many times where I wasn't going to be home for the holidays, mostly as an adult, of course. But there are a few, I think there were one or two Christmases that I wasn't there for Christmas morning. And the first time that happens, you always kind of feel a little sad.
Right.
Stuff you can't really control, obviously, because of work or planes or whatever, or storms. But you always want to be around people that you care about for the holidays. And just when that doesn't happen, you just, you feel, you feel feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we'll get into the music in a little bit, but I kind of want to break down some of these lyrics real quick. So verse one says, she looks around, there are snowflakes on the ground. Here comes another lonely Christmas. I mean, that's like super depressing already.
but it's funny because it almost seems to be part and parcel with that time of period. Because, I mean, Wham had that Last Christmas song.
Right.
And so it's all about, you know, not being with the one you want to be with at Christmas time.
Right.
Or, you know, I got broken up with at Christmas time. So
I guess you're right. I guess it is just pretty standard for the era. Yeah.
I mean, there are so many Christmas songs about not being home or not being true. With the one you love. But I mean, yeah, go on with the lyrics.
So then it's stars in the night. There is one there shining bright, shine bright for me this lonely Christmas. That's cool. It's real evocative, but I love, so as he's singing this song, so chordally, it starts off on like the tonic, you know, the one major. Mm-hmm. So in this case, it's the key of F. So it starts on F and then it just kind of goes up the scale. So the next chord is the two minor. So G minor, and then the three minor, which is A minor. And it just kind of goes up to that, but then it goes back to the one chord. So it's, you know, it's a, she looks around, there are G minor. No, it's the C. Yeah. There are G minor on the ground, and it goes back to the F. And then here's where it kind of goes back up again to that G minor. Here comes another lonely Christmas. And then it jumps to the six minor, D minor, and then down to the five so that we can set up that resolve back to the one chord.
Right.
Yeah. So we have this progression of like, you know, major one, then minor two, minor three, back to the major one, minor two, and then minor six, five. And then we that kind of repeats for the next verse. But then the chorus, I really love. It says, I wanted to say to you how much I want to be with you. And I wanted to say to you how much I need to be with you. So it goes from want to need. And I wanted to say to you how much I want to be with you. I wanted to say to you how much I need to be with you. Christmas time comes once a year. She knows this time we won't be near. To me, that movement from want to need is just so powerful, you know, because everybody has that need to feel loved and to, like you said, be with the ones you love. So yeah, you can want it, but we need it as well. But I love that whole section is just like a one chord, and then it goes to the minor six chord, then the one major, minor six.
Is that the circle of fifths that they're working with?
So not
I know
quite.
We're getting really technical about this now.
No, I love it. not quite. So the circle of fifths would be like a five of, you know, five, 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 or four, 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 you know. In this case, it's just a one and a minor six. So it's like F to D minor. So you can either think of it as going like down a minor third or up a major sixth.
Okay.
So yeah, which is actually very, very folky as well.
Right.
Which makes sense. You know, we're trying to evoke that home feel and, you know, that family feel. So it makes sense.
Yeah, and that's the music style you want to emulate.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't know how much he did this consciously, but really, if he did it consciously, that's amazing. If he did it subconsciously, that's even more amazing to me because, like, he's just honed in on what makes you want to be with family. I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
And then we round that out with Christmas time comes once a year. She knows this time he won't be near. And I like that because now we do have a circle of fifths thing where we go to the A minor, to the D minor, the A minor, the D minor. And so we just kind of jump back and forth to that. So that's kind of neat. Nice.
Nothing like resolution.
Yeah. And then we get to that second verse. It's like she phones her mom, says this time she cannot come. Don't worry, I'm with friends this Christmas.
Okay. It's like, you just said you weren't going to make it.
Yeah, exactly. What do you mean you're with friends this Christmas? I'm thinking maybe she has to work.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Well, We've all been
like,
there.
Well, at least I'll be with friends. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then the next verse is the one that always gets me very upset. And it's just, I don't know. I'll get to it later. We'll get to it. But it says, dad gets upset, but in time he soon forgets. Here comes another lonely Christmas. It's like, well, dad wouldn't forget. I mean, I think he'd be sad that she couldn't make it, even if he is upset.
Yeah. I don't know. It could allude to having a little extra tipple for the holidays. Too much eggnog,
that's
maybe?
That's true, yeah. Yeah, it could. You're right.
I mean, we all partake maybe a little too often during the holiday season.
Yeah, yeah. That's what good eggnog is for.
Yes.
Or mulled wine.
But I wonder if each verse is a different person.
Could be. I mean, that's why I was a little confused about it. It could be the same person or it could be someone else.
Yeah. Oh, well. I guess we got to
read
that.
Yeah, I don't know. But then we get back to that, the whole, you know, refrain. But the outro is really cool. This is my favorite part where it just goes, I wanted to say to you how much I want to be with you. It's that those two verses over and over again, you know, those two lines. But each time there's like the backing vocal. And I love this backing vocal. You know, it's and I wanted to say to you. And then above that we have, she won't be home. That kind of overlaps there. Yeah. And then, how much I need to be with you this Christmas time. So it's, we have like the two voices, she won't be home this Christmas time, but the person at the, you know, saying, I wanted to say how much I need to be with you. So it's just, it's cool.
It's like a two-person madrigal.
Yeah, kind of. really kind of is. And it's just really catchy.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So that's like the main thrust of the song there. That I really wanted to hit. But I think I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about Respect or, you know, some of the other songs as well. And we can talk about the rest of the album. I mean, it's so good. Stop, The Hardest Part is another one that's just, I mean, they're just fantastic.
Ship of Fools was on one of the US versions.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Of course it was. Of course it was. That's like their biggest. Yeah. Okay. I get it. Yeah. There's like a ton of different versions of it, just depending on who released it or when it was released. The one on CD, like you said, had the God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. It was also released, I think that one was released as Crackers International Part 2.
Yeah. Which I was, the title of the album, I didn't get until I realized that crackers, they're talking about like Christmas crackers.
Like Christmas crackers, yeah.
Ones you pull apart and have the prize and the paper crown inside. I'm like, why is right. a Christmas album called Crackers?
Well, and it's funny because they're not really very Christmassy songs.
No, that's the other thing. I mean, yes, She Won't Be Home is a Christmas song, but for part and parcel, Stop is not a Christmas song.
No, I mean, it's really not.
It's just a dance version, a dance song. But I think they released this in October, early November of 88. So they wanted it to be like the Christmas number one. And the Christmas number one in the UK is huge.
Huge, yeah.
So if you're the Christmas number one, you're selling thousands and thousands of albums. And I guess that year it was Cliff Richards as the number one.
Okay.
With a song called Mistletoe and Wine, which again is kind of like, it's a really sappy song about like a little match girls type girl trying to save Christmas. I'm like, all right, pull out all the heartstrings. Yeah, you're going to be number one for the
you're
holidays.
You're going to be number one. Yeah. We got the Christmas shoes all over again.
Yeah, exactly. So, and they were up against some heavy hitters for that. So they didn't make the Christmas number one.
That's kind of a bummer.
Again, not knocking on your door is on that. I'm like, knocking on your door is not like a, really a Christmas song for me anyway.
No, same thing. I think it's just an EP they put out and then they decided to add this one Christmas song maybe, or like an EP in time for Christmas. I don't think it was just like an actual full, you know, Christmas thing.
Yeah.
Because you're right. None of them are very Christmassy except for She Won't Be Home. And then later on this, you know, the CD with God Rest You Merry Gentlemen.
Yeah.
So.
It could be just, well, I could be cynical and say it's just a blatant money grab, but that's just me.
It could be. I wouldn't put it past some people. But on the other hand, I know Vince Clark had real trouble when he got famous. He didn't really like a lot of the touring. At least he said he didn't with Depeche Mode. He didn't really like a lot of people asking him like what his favorite things were. And
No.
Yeah. So it could be, I wouldn't bet that it's a cash grab just based on his personality.
Yes. He thought that Depeche Mode was getting like very dark in their lyrics and stuff. So it didn't really work out for him. And God bless him, because there are artists who just want to create.
Yeah.
Like, the fame and the fortune is just a benefit, I guess, if you want. Sometimes it's not a benefit, sometimes it's a curse, but it's just part with the job. And so, like you said, he's really good at what he does. So he created a great band with Depeche Mode. He created Yazoo with Alison Moyet, and now he creates Erasure with Andy. And back to him meeting him, and they said that's the first time he actually collaborated with the other artist in the group. Yes, it's two people, but he would come in, put in a dance track, and they would go away and put lyrics on top of it for Depeche Mode. But he said with Andy, they would work on like 4 and 8 bar segments at a time and then sort of put them together like a big puzzle.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so that's the first time he actually collaborated with another artist to make music. So I think that helps why they stayed together for so long.
Right. Yeah. Cause they had like their big, imperial phase, I guess, until like, I'd say maybe 94, 95, something around there.
Yeah. I mean, they were still touring in Europe and stuff in the noughties and in the tens, I guess. What do you call it? Like the 2010s?
I don't know. I just say 2000s because I don't know what else to call it.
So, but, I mean, they're still touring Europe and doing like big music festivals and stuff, but they just weren't sort of churning out albums like they used to.
Right.
Until recently, when they released their new one 2 years ago. God, it's been 2 years already.
And I think it's I think it was like their 18th album, something like that.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, and like they've released a ridiculous amount of material. It's good for them that they can just keep doing that. So Crackers International hit number 2 in the UK.
Yes. And their previous album was The Innocents, which came out that same year, hit number 1.
Yeah. It's a great album. It's another one that's like you just put it on and you can just jam out to it, you know?
Yeah. It's a great road trip album too.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. That's
cool. You can just sing out the top of your lungs to everything.
Yeah. And then you said Circus. That's another one. That's really good. They've had some really great hits.
Oh, did you listen to back to the Snow Globe album? Did you
go ahead.
All of it? Or did you just hear certain tracks?
I haven't heard all of it yet.
Okay.
I've downloaded it. I just haven't had a chance to hear all of it yet.
Well, they have White Christmas is on there, which is interesting. Because I have certain feelings about White Christmas.
Yeah.
Because I think it should be, like, I know it's classic with Bing Crosby and stuff like that. So it just sounds a little weird when someone else sings it.
Yeah.
You know how you get used to a certain artist?
Yes. Yeah, you're right. I'm the same way with, White Christmas for sure, but the Christmas song is another one for me. Like, there's some amazing versions out there. Don't get me wrong. I love them all. But for me, it's always Nat King Cole. Like, I got to hear Nat King Cole sing the Christmas song.
Not Mel Torme.
Not Mel Torme. Yeah. Funnily enough, I don't know why.
He wrote the thing.
Yeah, exactly. But for me, no, I gotta hear Nat King Cole sing it.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's like White Christmas like belongs to Bing Crosby almost.
Yes. And it's funny, like there are other tracks out, like Christmas tracks out there that it doesn't bother me to other people sing them.
Right.
Like God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. That can be sung by anyone. And I love the song.
Right. And I think part of that is just because it's like an old traditional carol.
Yes.
you know? Oh, whereas like something like White Christmas, Bing Crosby popularized it.
True.
So it's a little more, I don't know, he just, to me at least, it feels like he has a little more ownership of it. And I know he really doesn't, but it just feels like it to me. So I completely get where you're coming from. Now I got to go hear their version of it. I'm really interested. But they do have a version of the Christmas song on there as well.
Yes.
And then there was some that I didn't recognize. I don't know if they're originals, because I don't have, I haven't read the, you know, since I just downloaded it, I don't have like the album liner notes.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know, like Blood on the Snow. Is that like an original composition?
I don't think it is, actually. I don't remember. It sounds familiar, but I think I've heard it before, but I could, again, I need to research.
Oh, yeah, here it is. So yeah, that's an original composition.
Oh.
Same thing with There'll Be No Tomorrow.
Yeah.
So they have that one.
Make It Wonderful and Loving Man are also.
And those two, yeah. Originals. Yeah. So four of their songs. Now there's also a deluxe edition that has extra tracks on it, I think. Or it's like a box set. Something like that. There was the Erasure Christmas radio show as well on the limited edition box set. It's disc 3 of that. It was recorded live. They said inside the snow globe.
But, well, I think that's, I remember seeing a thing, and they actually did have one of those sort of inflatable snow globes on stage.
That's cool.
So yeah, playing inside the snow globe.
Nice. And that was, it's like 51 minutes long. It's just one big track. So that's interesting. There's a deluxe Nutcracker edition with the Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus. That was interesting. Did you get to hear that one?
No, that's the thing. I'm like, is that a song? I thought it was just a letter written to a
pretty much paper. Just them like reading the letter with like some instrumental, light instrumentals underneath.
Okay.
It's different.
Now I have to do some digging.
But yeah, I definitely, I like it. It's a good album. It really is. But that, it's a great band. Respect is probably my favorite. Although, I don't know. I really do like Ship of Fools. That's a good one too.
Oh, Chains of Love.
Chains of Love. That's another
Chains
good one.
Chains of Love is a great song.
But yeah, that's again, another really good one. Yeah, they have some, they just have some fantastic songs. I really dig their whole style, the whole synth pop thing. I think you're right. I like it better than Depeche Mode just because of the content. Like it is a lot lighter, fun and love and things like that. I don't know. I really enjoy Erasure.
Yeah, I think that was a conscious choice too with Andy and Vince about not being too sort of dark. I mean, it's pop music. It's not
right. I mean,
yes, you can have messages and stuff like that, but it's just meant to have fun. And I think they really showed that on their albums. They're just two people who enjoy making music together. And that's, Vince had talked about that. He said, I'd never had so much fun just playing a gig, just going and playing music with Andy for hours and hours. I think that's what made them endure so long, I think.
Yeah, because when you're having fun playing, it really comes out. Like it always reflects in the music. So
yes.
Yeah, so that's really cool that he can just go out there and just, you know, go for it. And really enjoy
I was always himself. Told by my singing, by my music directors to like smile when you sing. And it makes a big difference.
It really does. Yeah, it really does.
I mean, obviously, if you're singing like a sad song and stuff, but you don't. But, you know, act like you enjoy what you're doing.
Oh, man. But it does make me wonder, what would you say would be your happiest memory or moment with Erasure?
Overall or just this album?
Either one.
Oh. Well, from the album, it's Stop. I mean, I love Stop. The song is such a great, catchy sort of pop tune. Yeah. And it almost kind of reminds me of like the 60s girl groups and then sort of the style of the song.
Yeah, I get that. So, I can totally get that.
It's always just, it's a fun poppy song you can sing along with. And overall, I mean, I just enjoy Erasure as a group. I mean, I enjoy their music. I enjoy their pop style and just the fun they've had over the years making music. I mean, who cannot enjoy that?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think for me, I remember specifically this girl in my class. I think her name was Marie. And I've talked about her once before because she used to sing like random like Bon Jovi songs or Guns N' Roses songs. But I remember she actually would just, she randomly, you know, just sing these songs. And I remember this one time she sang and it was a Respect. And I was like, what is that? That's kind of cool. Cause they had just come out with that album. I didn't really know it yet. And so she was singing that song. I was like, okay, I like this. Yeah, that's cool. And I went to go check it out after that. So it stuck in my mind. And ever since then, that's kind of when I really got more into them. So that would probably definitely have to be mine, I think. Now with this album, this EP in particular, I don't have a long history with it. Even though I remember it from back in the day, but not really very much. So it really wasn't until diving into it for the show and into speaking with you that I really have gotten a big fondness for it, I should say. But I think, yeah, it would probably be just figuring out the chords to the song, because all the ones online are completely wrong. So for all you guys, all you guitarists or keyboardists or anybody that wants to play the song, do not go look at the chords online. They are wrong. They're very wrong.
So. Go to a legit music store.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, man. But now we come to my favorite part of the show, which is a little segment I like to call Gag Me with a Spoon. So this is where we do our best impression of our least favorite part of the song or any song by Erasure. I don't mind. You can pick anyone you want. So even though we like them a lot, you know, there's always a little part here and there that we might not like as much. And so we'll just do our best to emulate that. As a guest, I'll let you go first if you'd like.
Now you put me on the spot. My goodness.
Okay, well, I'll go first. How about that?
Okay.
All right. So this is from the second verse of She Won't Be Home. And the only reason I like it is because I still don't think, and I know you're right, it might have been about cordials, but it says in time he soon forgets. So I'll try my best here. Dad gets upset, but in time he soon forgets. Like, don't forget, Dad.
Okay. It's funny because I'm looking over their discography. Can't even say that word right. They had a cover song by Cole Porter, Too Darn Hot, on the Red Hot and Blue album back in 1990.
Oh, yeah.
And I never really liked it, unfortunately. I like the song.
Yeah.
I've liked versions of the song. But their version just, it didn't really click with me because it didn't really compared to their other stuff. And maybe I was just being too technical and saying, well, they don't sound like a pop song. That does not techno. And like, so I don't know. But I can try. Too darn hot. I'd like to sup with my baby tonight. Refill the cup with my baby tonight. There you go.
Yeah, I love it. Good. It's good. I like it. I like their style. It's very poppy. Like you said, you can really dance to it. It's super cool, but it doesn't always fit every single song.
True.
So yeah, I get where you're coming from with that one. That was great. But you know, it does make me wonder, what would you say? Because G.I. Joe taught us that knowing is half the battle. What would you say is the other half?
The other half would be laying down a sick beat.
Oh, I love it. That's way better than mine. Mine is so if knowing's half the battle, the other half is just giving a little respect to me.
Oh, there you go. Cheese.
That's right. Oh, man. Glenn, it's been fun. So much fun talking with you. It's always a blast. But, you know, tell me about your show.
I am the host of Seasons Eatings Podcast, the podcast which dives into the history of our favorite Christmas foods. I can be found on seasonseatingspodcast.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can download the podcast from your favorite podcast app.
There you go. It's super cool. It's you feel just so hungry after every episode. I mean, for real, that's like the highest compliment I can give it. Every time I want to go try these foods now, you know, some of the ones that I'm not used to, that I've never heard before. Cool. So they're, I love your show. It's great.
Thank you.
And I know you had a contest with the jelly of the month.
Oh, last year. Yeah. I had a, it was our 2-year anniversary and oh my God, 3-year anniversary is coming up next month.
Oh, wow.
I can't believe it's been 3 years already. Yes, and it was won by Kim from Planning for Christmas. She won the Jelly of the Month Club. So,
anything else like that coming up for the 3-year?
No, because it's totally surprised me.
Gotcha.
Okay. I'm just chugging along. I'm like, oh my goodness, I've already done 3 years. What am I going to do? But I'm hopefully trying to work on some stuff for Christmas in July.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
2 months to go.
And I have to say, I don't know if I ever got a chance to thank you for the awesome picture that you sent me, the reproduction of Kevin McAllister's battle plan from Home Alone.
Oh, yes. I'm glad you got it.
I did. I've been meaning to send you a thank you note, and I never got to. I'm so bad at sending things.
That was done by a local artist here. He does a whole bunch of really cool sort of pop art stuff and TV related things. And he had that. I'm like, I got to get that for Jerry.
Well, I really appreciate it. It was amazing. So cool. Thank you. I'm definitely going to put that up so everyone can see how awesome it is. But thanks again for coming on. It was so much fun.
Thanks for having me.
And I'm going to end it by saying, and I wanted to say to you how much I want to be with you. So check us out on our social media pages, Facebook and Instagram at Totally Rad Christmas, Twitter at Rad Christmas, or our Facebook group, Totally Rad Christmas Mall and Arcade, where you can make your voice known to us as well. We post anything and everything 80s or Christmas related. And if you're feeling like shining bright for me this lonely Christmas, leave us a review on iTunes. It helps us reach more people and spread some rad holiday cheer. Now, don't forget to check out our merch shop on tpublic.com with some brand new designs and our super dope website, totallyradchristmas.com, courtesy of Tis the Podcast Elf, Tom Crow. Wishing you an Erasure Christmas and a Happy New Year. Later, dudes.
Have you ever wondered why we sing and eat figgy pudding during the holidays? How does the butter letter from 11th century Rome create the perfect holiday dessert? Join me, Glenn Warren, on Seasons Eatings as we explore the history and origins of your favorite Christmas foods. So head on over to seasonseatingspodcast.com to subscribe on your podcast app of choice.